This is Garfield Carr on March 16th in Davidson, North Carolina. All right. Well, where were you born?
I was born in Mooresville, North Carolina.
And when did you move to Davidson?
I've been in Davidson all my life. Mm-hmm. But it's just I was born at the hospital in Mooresville.
But did you grow up here in Davidson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Been here all my life.
What were your parents' names?
Evelyn and Orlando Carr.
And what did they do?
Various things. My dad was a truck driver, and then he went to work for a company called Carolina Asbestos here in Davidson. And my mother worked at the college for a while, and then she worked a while at Rees Brothers, which was a textile plant, and she worked for General Tye, division of West Clark. And I think they call it was Lombardi Dimetrics or something like that now. That's what it's called now. So that's what they did.
And you attended the Ada Jenkins School?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at elementary school mm-hmm. from first grade through eighth grade.
And did you go all the way through?
No, I went to Torrance Lytle for 2 years, which was the high school. Mm-hmm. And in 65, when they integrated the public schools, I went to North Mecklenburg. So I was at North for about 3 years, from 65 through 68. That's when I graduated.
Okay. And then, so what years were you at Ada Jenkins?
Oh, I knew you'd ask me that. Oh. I say from 56 till, that would make me there, 8 years.
So
it's around 63, 64.
Okay.
That time
and
frame.
And then do you remember when Ada Jenkins closed?
I don't really remember, but I'm just going to guess it was probably in the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm. So it was probably shortly after you left?
Shortly after I left. It was closed.
Do you think, we're assuming that it was closed because of integration and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to Mooresville?
No, I went to...
You went to...
Huntersville.
Okay.
Yeah, it was... The all-black high school was named Torrance Light, and that was in Huntersville. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 2 years. And they closed that school in 1966. Because in 65, it was mandatory. You know, integration was mandatory. And so I had to attend North Mecklenburg. Started in 1965. It was mandatory for my class. But I won't say it's mandatory. I really had no choice because they had started with the sophomore classes, at least at my school.
Yeah.
And then the following year, after 1966, it was mandatory that, you know, all schools had to be integrated. So some people were at Torrance Light a year after I left. But after 66, you know, they closed Torrance Lytle.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone had to go to North Mecklenburg.
How was that?
How was it?
Yeah. I mean, was a pretty big change?
It was a change. I guess a cultural and a social change.
Yeah.
Because... there was a period where, you know, we had to kind of learn each other. I think it was a pretty good transition because most of the kids that went to North Mecklenburg, you know, both black and white, you pretty much saw everybody every day. And at some point in time, you even played together.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't too bad of experience. I don't want to say that there wasn't some problems, you know, with certain students, but overall, the transition went pretty good, but it was a big change,
yeah.
You know, because you were, I guess, we were both wondering, but we were, I guess, more so wondering how we were going to be accepted, you know, and hearing of some of the other problems that some of the other schools had during that period of time throughout the South. We didn't know, you know, really didn't know what to expect. But I don't think any of the problems that were experienced in other communities and states in the South, I think it was pretty smooth transition. And we had isolated cases.
What, do you remember any of the incidents or anything that happened?
I personally wasn't, you know, involved in any. And there, like I said, there were so few that, you know, nothing just really, you know, stands out. I think the biggest problem that, you know, that we had, you know, was getting the mascot for North Mecklenburg at that time was a rebel, and they had this big Confederate flag in the gymnasium, and you know what that is all about. So I guess if it was one obstacle was.
Did you get that changed, or?
It changed after I graduated. Mm-hmm. They became the Vikings, but I would guess if there was a, you know, one real issue, you know, that was an issue.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't like using the word fought for change, but we advocated for change, you know, because there's no way, you know, you could, we would associate ourselves with Ben marching under, and I think they played the Dixie theme and song, and so that, you know, it just didn't sit well. So we kind of rebelled against that because that was one of the things, especially when you had an assembly or a pep rally, you know, they played this song, and, you know, we just could associate ourselves with being the rebels. So if it's one thing that actually sticks out, I think that would be one of the hurdles that we had.
Well, I guess, what was Ada Jenkins like? What was the school like? What was it? What do you remember? If you've talked to some people and they've said that sometimes the classes, the grades would be grouped together. Do you remember if any of that? Separate the whole time.
Not during the time that I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier, and I'm going to say a lot earlier than even me, I would say maybe my parents, because my parents went to Ada Jenkins. My mother did, and my dad went to Torrance Lytle. But I'm sure at that time they probably were grouped together.
Yep.
But my generation, they were more separate classes.
Do you remember what subjects you had?
We had our basic, you had your basic subjects. And I think I took TV French class. You know, it was, I guess, it was probably the breaking of the new age of high technology, you know. So, but, you know, we had your basic classes, reading, writing, arithmetic, algebra, geometry, calculus. We had a very good and stern principal.
Who was the principal?
Mr. Harris. And he was real stern, and he was a disciplinarian. So, and you know, you had to be prepared, you know, when you come to class.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say we had some wonderful teachers.
Do you remember who your teachers were?
I can remember a few. Miss Brown was my first grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Kimbrough, I think, was my second grade teacher. Mrs. Morris was my third grade teacher, and she was real stern.
What was she like? Did you ever have any run-ins with her?
I got caught chewing chewing gum in class one day, and So she had this thing. She had a little, like a little, you remember the paddle balls with the rubber ball? And so she had one of those. And you had a choice with three whacks with the paddle or chewing your chewing gum, and she would put like Castor in it. Yeah, so I chose the Castor, you know, and I know the one difference was in going to North Mecklenburg from Ada Jenkins and Torrance Lytle. Teachers in the black school were more disciplinarians, you know, and you know they didn't take any junk off of you, you know. I mean, it wasn't abuse, but you didn't want to be unruly in class and not come to class prepared, because they would stop by your house and talk to your parents. Well, you know, Garfield did this and he didn't do that, you know, and you definitely didn't want that to happen. So it was more of, it was more personal. Mm-hmm. And none like North Mecklenburg, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you were there, and I'm not saying teachers didn't take interest, but it was more personal in the black schools than it was in, because if you need help, you know, you stay out of school and your teacher would help you. Or like I said, they'd come by your house and make sure you were doing your homework. But, and that was I noted difference that I noticed it, you know, at North Mecklenburg. Because it was a bigger school, and I, you know, I don't know what the reason for. I'm sure they had more students and they just couldn't get around like, you know, our teachers did. So that was another thing that I noticed. Not that it affected us any, because it was kind of like we felt in some ways that they were better prepared, you know, scholastically than we were. And in some cases that was true, in some cases it weren't. Mm-hmm. And of course, their material was a lot better than ours, you know. You know, they had the labs and this kind of things that that we didn't have. But I found out that, you know, in some cases, in most cases, we were pretty much on the same level. And I think that was because of the interest and the discipline that was instilled in us in school, and of course your parents.
Yeah, was there a lot of parent involvement?
Yeah,
there was.
Yeah, parents were always involved. I mean, the teachers saw to that. Like I say, if something happened in school, you know, you sometimes your parents knew before you even got home. Couple of times, yeah, a couple of times. But I learned quick. You go to school to study and learn, not to play.
Yep.
So I learned quick.
Do you think that, was there more of like a sense of community then with the Ada Jenkins School, do you think?
Just yeah.
Parents being involved?
Yeah. And, yeah, it was a big sense of community, because if you were, again, if you were in school and you did something, you know, your teacher told your mom or you just stopped by, and they had more home visits than they do now. And of course, if you're in the community doing something that you shouldn't be doing, then someone in the community would correct you and tell your mom and dad, you know, what you did and why, and what they did to you and why they did it. And so that's the worst thing you want to happen. You know, you get caught in the community doing something, because some adult was always going to, you know, call you over and you should do this, you should do that. I'm going to tell your mom, I'm going to tell your dad. And so, and you didn't want that to happen. So it was a sense of community. And it was kind of like that throughout Davidson. And I'm not saying that Davidson didn't have his problems during that time. all in all, it was pretty much community.
And were there other kids from surrounding towns at Ada Jenkins when you were there? Or was it mostly just Davidson's?
No, just Davidson and Cornelius went to Ada Jenkins.
And they, do you think, did they take a bus or, do you remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there were any kids from Mooresville that came to school because Mooresville had their own, you know, school system. So most of the kids that went to Ada Jenkins were from Davidson and Cornelius.
Did you play any sports, or did you have any clubs or special events that you guys did as a school? Or?
You had a basketball team, and we had like 4-H clubs. Homemakers of America and Future Farmers of America type clubs, yeah.
Did you belong to any of them?
I was in a 4-H club, and because part of our school activity was a glee club, and I was in the glee club, and that was at Ada Jenkins and at Torrance Lionel. Of course, you had basketball and football. I played basketball. Torrance Lionel, and I was in the drama club and French club. So,
when you went to North Mech, do you think that there were different pressures, like socially? I mean,
yeah, there was, you know, social, cultural, academic pressures.
Did you feel like you were more put on the spot being, you know, having, or like, did you notice if people were more conscious of the way that they dressed, or?
Well, yeah, you know, we would always try to be as well dressed as they could, even though in some cases, most cases, you couldn't. So there were pressures. Because, of course, you know, during that time, with the way that the country was, there was really not a lot of opportunities for black families, mothers and fathers in particular. Mm-hmm. And some of them themselves may have had limited education, so they, and you really couldn't afford to buy and do the things that we saw at school, so yeah, it put pressures on us in pretty much all aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
Academically, we felt that we had to be as smart or smarter than our counterparts, because there was kind of a way you were retreated and judged,
mm-hmm.
you know, during that time, you know, pretty much, and how well you act, and you never really wanted no one to take a negative attitude about you. So there were all kind of, you know,
how did you feel going to the integrated school? I mean, did you not want to? Did you want to? Did you miss having an all-black school?
If I'd had my choice, I would much rather stay, because you know, you had something to identify with.
Yeah. Do you feel like that was kind of lost when you went to the
integrated
school?
Yeah. It was the whole complete change.
Were there mostly white teachers at that
mm-hmm.
North Mech?
Yeah.
Do you think that had a lot to do with it?
Maybe. Yeah. it's just a thing you don't know, because you didn't know how they were thinking or what they were feeling, and they certainly couldn't express maybe their true feelings, you know. So there was always this question, you know, do they really care about me, or do they care if I learn anything or not, or am I going to be graded fairly? So that's why we always had to maybe work a little harder. So you were always in this mode of proving yourself, and you had to strive a little harder, and that may have helped.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable,
yeah,
but in the end, it may have helped. So,
did you feel good about having had the first chunk of your schooling, though, be all within an all-black school?
Mm-hmm. If I had my choice, that's where I would have stayed. You know, because that's where your roots were, you know, and you could, I guess, be with your friends, because being in a predominantly white school, you may have maybe 1, 2, 3 black children per class or something like that. So there's really no one to really relate to, and if you had a problem with homework, you know, you didn't want to appear to be dumb, because in some cases that's what someone may have thought about you, but you didn't want to give that appearance that you were. And so you didn't know whether to ask, you know, another student to help you, because again, you didn't know what they were going to think about you, mm-hmm. or whether they would or not, or if what they told you was even the truth. So most of the time, you know, when you had a break, we would all tend to, I guess, get with the, you know, with our friends, somebody that we could really associate with. So.
And were the kids that were with you at Ada Jenkins a lot of the same kids that
mm-hmm.
you went to North Mecklenburg?
Mm-hmm. Except now when we got to North Mecklenburg, the kids were attending North Mecklenburg, like from Davidson, Cornelius, Huntersville, Long Creek, Mallard Creek, so it was a bigger selection. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, some of the black kids from those same towns, so... So it was, I guess, community-wide, it was pretty much diverse community-wide.
Yeah. But did you remain friends with the people that you had gone through elementary school with?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and even made some new friends, you know, from the other towns. But, you know, my parents, you know, always taught me, you know, you treat a person like you want to be treated, regardless of who they were, what they were, or what color they were. And you could do anything you want to do if you put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of grew up with that. So I won't say I didn't have some of the same pressures that the other kids did, but it's just that, you know, my parents always told me, you know, you're just as good, and maybe in some cases better than someone else, and never let anybody tell you that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would even say all black parents during that time, but, you know, that was the thing that, you know, they instilled in us, you know, regardless who people think you are, what they think about you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you always strive to be better than the next person. And never let anybody tell you that what you can't do. So, and I kind of grew up with that. And most of us did, because that was the way we were raised as a family and as a community, you know.
Did you, where'd you live in Davidson?
I lived on Griffith Street, exactly, to be precise. our house used to sit where LG Pond is, Davidson Pond is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when Duke Power decided to build a dam and flood the area, you know, we had to move. But our house used to sit right where Davidson Pond is. In fact, there's several houses
really?
In that area, yeah.
And did you have a lot of white friends, any white friends growing up, or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I say, most of the kids in this area that went to North Mecklenburg, you know, we all grew up together.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, played together. And I think that helped us, you know, in the transition, even though we never thought that would ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that some of them probably wish that it hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it did, and we kind of suffered through it.
Yeah.
And we got to know, and I think they got to know, that some of the things that we both had heard weren't necessarily true. And over a period of time, I think we begin to look at each other as individuals, as kids, because kids kind of mimic what they see the adults do, and they repeat the things that the adults do. And so I would say by the time I graduated, I think we began to, I won't say understand each other, but to accept each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we were, I guess, put in a situation that as a kid, if you had a choice, you wouldn't do, but it's something that, you know, that happened.
Yeah.
But, I had several white friends, and I was used at their house, or they were at my house, and I never really had any problem. I went and did anything I wanted to do.
How often did you guys think about the fact that you went to separate schools before desegregation? I mean, was that...
Never really thought about
it. Do you have any siblings?
Mm-hmm. Leslie, David, and Roderick.
And did they all go to Ada Jenkins?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. They were in the greatest schools from day one.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they're younger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have five brothers and three sisters.
Oh, wow.
And I think all of them went to Ada Jenkins except for my younger brother, my baby brother. But they were there maybe for a year or two or something like that. Not because that's when schools were beginning to integrate.
Yeah. Are you the oldest?
No. I have a brother. I think he's 51. So he went to black school all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he and my older sister went to all black schools all their life. And I was the first one. In fact, it was in the very first class of integration of the public schools in the South, which was in 65. So I was in, I guess, the transition or the change of times and stuff. So,
yeah. And did you feel, I don't know. I mean, do you feel like your older brother and sister maybe, I don't know, came out better from their experiences
I think they were just as prepared as I was.
Yeah.
And in some cases, better.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And just the difference between my, you know, my own children's attitudes about things and mine are even different.
Yeah.
And a part of it I can contribute to the fact that, you know, they went to all white school all their lives. Because they never really got into any the history of the black history.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't exposed to a lot of the things, the cultures and the traditions that you had in a black school. You know, just, I guess, celebrating and commemorating, you know, the black leaders, teachers.
What did you guys do for that kind of stuff? I mean, can you remember?
Well, you know, it really wasn't any special thing. It was just...
Just in general.
It was a daily, you know, it was a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, like now... We celebrate like Black History once a month. The country does.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the black schools, it was a, you know, that was a daily thing. Not that that was the only history that we took. You know, we took world history, social studies, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as black history, we had black history every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know who your black forefathers were, and then the inventors, the scientists, the doctors, the lawyers, and the politicians and everything. Things that probably my kids don't even know about, you
yeah.
know. And so, you know, that is a, that's a difference. And so I think that's one difference that, you know, that my kids that are going to school now really wasn't exposed to anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Is there, like, do you remember any particular teacher? I mean, you mentioned, I can't remember her name, the one who was a real disciplinarian. Is that Miss Morris?
Miss Morris, well.
Do you remember anybody in particular that might have had an effect on you or influenced you or you really liked?
I don't know if there was anyone, because I think they all shared the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
And they even kind of put a little pressure on you because there may have been some subjects that my brothers and sisters excelled in, and they expected you to be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't, you know, why not? This kind of thing, and but I think other than, you know, Miss Morris and Miss Brown and Miss Balcom, you know, all all of my homeroom teachers, and most anyone that you would talk to would probably say that Mr. Harris was the most, our principal was the most person that most people would talk about.
What was he like?
It's kind of hard to describe that man. He was tough. He was tough. He didn't take nothing, and he was almost a perfectionist. And like I say, a stern disciplinarian. You know, guys and girls didn't walk holding hands, and guys never, you don't walk around with your hands in your pockets, and you give ladies, girls respect you, open the doors, and when you dance, you know, you couldn't do dance close. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to dance miles apart and that kind of a thing. So.
Did you guys have dances a lot?
Yeah.
What were those like?
Kind of like your junior, senior proms, those kind of, your formal dances. Mm-hmm. So.
Were they once a year or?
Once a year. Mm-hmm. Usually near the end of school year, kind of like you do now. Mm-hmm. And we had one activity that we always participated in. I think it was the month of May, and that was called May Day. And it's kind of a little outdoor activity. And one event where you just play games and had lunch and stuff like on the lawn, and then we had one little activity where you get dressed up in these special little costumes and stuff, and they had this one activity that we called wrapping the maypole with crepe paper, you know, like taking it down, and you know, your kids walked around, and you know how you over and under and that kind of thing around the flagpole, and everyone went to participate in that, you know. So that was another special activity we had, and of course you had Halloween and things like that. So all the same things that I guess any kid in any school, whether you're black or white, did. You had, you know, your activity. So there wasn't anything any too much different than what they were doing and or we were doing that they weren't doing. It's just that maybe the resources that they had may have been a little better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you really didn't think about that as a kid. I mean, you didn't know whether they had Spanish lab at North Mecklenburg, and I don't guess the kids never knew that we didn't have any
right.
Spanish labs there. I mean, you know, it's just that, you know, we used what we had. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they did the same thing. Now, of course, from a teacher's perspective, they probably realized some things that we wouldn't have realized. Mm-hmm. But they used every resource they had and got the best out of us, you know. So, you know, it's like, well, you may not have this, you may not have that, but it doesn't mean you can't do that, you know. It may take you a little longer, but you can still do it. And so that kind of followed me, and I think it followed a lot of us going to North Mecklenburg, even though we didn't have these things, it's not to say that we can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, showed me. Prove to me.
Yeah. Did you have, what did you do when you got home from school every day from Ada? Did you do your homework? Or?
Well, we did our chores, you know, had mom around the house, and then we did our homework.
Did you get help on your homework?
Mm-hmm.
From your parents?
From my parents and my older sisters and brothers. Yeah. That was a law at my house. You didn't do anything until you got your homework. And if you didn't get your homework, you didn't do anything. And you stayed at home. No kids around, unless mom and dad was at home. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's hanging out. You know, so you get home and you do your chores and do your homework. And if it wasn't dark, you know, you may be able to go and visit, you know, some of your friends. And you had a time to be home. And not a minute before, not a minute after. At that time, you were expected to be in the house.
And it sounds like there was a lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much with every family. Mm-hmm. And the neighbors always watched each other's kids. Because we kind of got in trouble one time because we had some of our school friends over the house, and of course my mom was at work, and she said, well, she'll never know. And boy, did, and when she came home, she knew. And you wonder, now how in the world did she know that? You know? Because you didn't see these people, but they saw you. And so a lot of times mom and dad came in from work and they could tell if we had someone there, and they could tell us who it was and when they came and how long they stayed, what you did and what you didn't do. You're going like, how in the world did they know all this? But it was the people in the community that was watching after you. Mm-hmm. Well, there's always connections with the church and school. That's just a part of culture, mm-hmm. that there's always going to be that closeness and that association, always, you know, from the minister. You know, the minister, you know, he visits the families. I mean, you know, he may visit my family and have dinner with us or some other members of the church. But it was kind of a traditional thing.
Did you ever have prayers or anything like that in school?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we did, and you get to class, bell rings, you know, you would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And you had to say a Bible verse. You know, you stand up and you pledge allegiance to the flag, and then they go down the row and each kid would say a Bible verse. And then at the end of saying the Bible verse, you know, we'd all say the Lord's Prayer. And then classes start. That was tradition in the schools, in our schools.
That didn't happen then?
At North?
North,
no. Not that I can remember. I don't think so.
Do you think that all that discipline is like carried over into the way that you've raised your children? Or?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. I have no regrets. I really don't. And I think that's what's wrong with some kids today. There's not enough. Mm-hmm. Now, my children used to call me and say, well, Daddy, you old fashioned. I said, well, yeah, you might be right. But I was raised old fashioned. I think I turned out pretty good. You know, I've never been in trouble. Never been in jail, never hurt anybody, no one's ever hurt me. So, you know, I've been able to do pretty much everything I wanted to do. So I think I turned out pretty good. So is old fashioned really bad? Yeah. So that was, Dad, you're just old fashioned. I said, well, okay, whatever. But I think I turned out pretty good. That's what I'd always tell them. I said, now you do what I do, you might turn out pretty good too. And so, yeah, I try, because even though with all the discipline, you know, even in my family and in the community, my parents and I, we were just like best of friends, you know?
Yeah.
And we laughed, we joked, and we made fun with each other. But we knew how far to go and what to do and what not to do. Mm-hmm. And we still had fun. I mean, it wasn't like a regiment, you know, you do this, no, you know, there was some slack time, you know. So we had fun. but we knew that we knew when to get serious, when the fun was over. We knew that. So it's kind of like we knew how far to push that button. And we kid about that a lot. You know, mom, dad, all of us, we kid about that. And but no discipline ever came without a reason. You understood why. Even if it was a spanking, you knew why. You got that spanking. And well, some now may call it abuse, but I mean, it wasn't like they just like knock us down or anything like that. But just a mild spanking discipline. So I think if it had been for that, I mean, you know, even dangerous like it is now, there's a lot of things that, you know, kids could have gotten into, could have really gone astray. So, and that carried me through, because I didn't want to do anything that I knew would embarrass not so much me, but I wasn't going to embarrass my parents. No way.